Weekend, so now we have a shortened week, I guess, for many of us. But trust me, it isn't short with what's happening as far as craziness with a freak accident, a derailment of 15 cargo trains, you know, the train and 15 cars on this railway into Baltimore. Luckily, there wasn't anyone killed. There's one guy in serious condition. And, in fact, here's Angela Bernstein talking about the train derailment and the fact that immediately they jumped on the chemical situation with the hazmat crews.
If at any point they needed a request for additional personnel, different subject matter experts, if they determine it to be a chemical they're not as familiar with, they could make a request to the state and we would deploy our resources as necessary to be able to meet the need for determining what the best course of action would be. I believe it's still a monitoring situation for the most part once we found out that the there were no fatalities and we did have the scene pretty much secure.
All right, so once that happened, there were some people on the train for various reasons. Here's Zahn Gross talking about where he was at the time.
I was in the bathroom on the toilet, and it hit so hard it knocked me off the toilet. Well, I ran out of the bathroom and took a look outside. The windows in front of our office were blown out, tore the siding off of our building, actually moved cinder blocks. We're cleaning up right now in our office. Ceiling tiles came down, light bulbs came out of fixtures, actually pushed the cinder blocks in.
Wow, how crazy is that? So you hear the story about where somebody could be at the particular time, and then you hear monitoring the situation for the chemicals, because ultimately when a train goes down, what's the first thing we're thinking? What are they carrying? It's a crisis situation. They have to block off or evacuate an area. And we've had a few of these lately. One was a commuter crash that happened in Connecticut. But overall, the amount of crashes is down, thank goodness, because this one had a right outside of Baltimore, black plume of smoke, a huge explosion. Houses around it felt like it was some kind of an earthquake because dishes fell and it shook and all that kind of stuff. So this freight train hit a garbage truck and derailed, and that's what it was described as. It was a CSX freight train. Boy, last week we had the bridge in Washington, and of course, sadly, the big thing was Moore, Oklahoma, and that massive tornado and 25 people dying, 7 of them kids. And now we have this train collision. The truck driver is in serious condition. The explosion shook people up, but that's it. There wasn't any other injuries, which is absolutely amazing. You had buildings that were damaged. You had a warehouse that looked like it just blew up, but that's it. So they, as a precaution, they asked about 60 to 70 homeowners to get out of the area if they felt unsafe. They didn't tell them they had to, but if they felt unsafe, they told them to do it. And when you know, this is radio, but when you actually see, picture in your mind just this idyllic, cute little suburb with these manicured lawns, and all of a sudden behind them, boom, firewall, and this just black smoke that would not stop. And the fact that you saw these train cars flipped over and sliding down the tracks, that's what's so scary, because you know how massively heavy they are and the damage that they can do. So it is miraculous, because it was pretty close to a lot of homes, that it didn't rip up other things and hurt a bunch of people and smash into some of these houses. That's the good news this time around on that one. Big news out of New Jersey continues to be this athletic director situation, and her name's Julie Herman, and whether or not she gets the axe because of some of the past allegations about her. But the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, gave the president a show of support, saying he has absolute confidence in the president, who was brought in last year to turn the public university into a medical sciences powerhouse. A lot of people are questioning the fitness of this president for the job after all these allegations are surfacing that the incoming athletic director verbally abused players when she was a volleyball coach at Tennessee in the mid-1990s. You say, why are you starting off the show with that? Because it's crazy that a university that gets so much money dumped into it gets itself in trouble with a basketball coach, Mike Rice, who was abusive to his players. They booed him. An athletic director who was kind of a scapegoat and was forced to resign because he actually had Rice suspended for 3 days without pay. But once it became a big public story and was videotaped and all this other stuff, then they ended up dumping the athletic director, too. I mean, he was allowed to resign, but they were forcing him to resign. So then they had to find somebody who didn't have a sordid past or anything connected to controversy. They found her, and she had massive controversy connected to her. The abuse that she's accused of, calling players whores and alcoholics and all kinds of other things, is not an intense coach. It's an abusive coach. Name-calling and humiliating players is not being intense, I don't think, by anybody's standards. So the governor, I think, is sick of the question because that's what's happening. People are, while he's touring the sandy areas now that have been reopened in North Jersey, he's being bombarded with questions about the athletic director at Rutgers, and it got under his skin. So he said, listen, you know, I'm not in charge of recruiting. He's got to recruit. Ooh. So there you go. Drone strikes in the news heavily and on your minds, because I've probably gotten about 4 or 5 emails lately in the past week about how you feel about drones. The drone controversy never dies. Drone or not to drone. An American drone actually hit 4 militants, they say, in Pakistan. This is brand new. A pair of suspected missiles fired from one of those drones killed them on Wednesday near the Afghan border in Pakistan. We know that's a hellish place. And it was the first since Obama's speech last week on the drone program and more restrictive rules that he said he was implementing, and when to use it and where to use it. What did he say? Pakistan and Yemen. So there you go. There's a strike in Pakistan. They had information on where somebody was, and they went there to take them out, and it was being used by foreign militants, but there's not a lot of details on it other than that at this point, because they used some of those houses in that area as safe havens for the people who were targeting American troops in Afghanistan, because they're trying to pick them off. There's snipers that are going after our guys big time, and I think that was the idea here of that hit. All right, coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, some odds and ends, including a Secret Service bus on a $6 billion money laundering scheme. What? We got the details. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators, freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Secret Service, as I said, they nailed five people. They seized bank accounts, $6 billion in money laundering. That was the scheme. And it's staggering, they say. The largest case of international money laundering, period. So what does that mean? It means that they were cracking down in Spain, Costa Rica, and New York. That's where the people came from. They got the bank accounts, the internet domains associated with all that kind of stuff. And what it did is they had transnational online payments and money transfers. That's how they did it. This is what's wild about this. It's like the use of Bitcoin, which is that currency, internet kind of currency, and this digital currency is a form of online currency made up of units that can be exchanged with cash, and it's exploded in the last probably decade in popularity. Because they charge a 1% fee on transactions. So it allowed users to open accounts using fake names, including, here's the fake names, Russian hacker account, to redeem that money for cash in any part of the world using the third-party exchange companies. And this is what they did. Liberty Reserve was the name of the group. It's a no questions asked alternative to global banking. And all you need is an email to open an account and start moving money across the border. You don't have to prove any details or anything like that. And there's no way to trace an account. So the founder of Liberty Reserve was one of the people that were picked up. Then his pals were also in custody in New York. And they had 1 million users worldwide, 200,000 in the United States. Overall, they processed 55 million separate financial transactions and they laundered $6 billion in criminal proceeds. They laundered $6 billion bucks. Wow, that is staggering. So, of course, it is the biggest so far. U.S. Secret Service, immigration, blah, 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 all of them tracking them down. So Spain, Netherlands, Hong Kong, Morocco, China, all over the place. And they operated as illegal money transmitters. So they're going to get nailed. I mean, this is pretty much it. They had a couple of people who were tied up in this, but not very many. There was one guy that was quoted out of Houston. His name is Mitchell Rossetti, and he's got epaycards.com. And he's a mainstream merchant kind of guy. And he accepted the online-only currency. He said his business had 28,000 still tied up in reserve accounts. He said the irony is he went to them because of the security. But not so much, huh? Because it's fake money and make more money with fake money. And can you imagine tying this all together? I mean, this was all over the map. Crazy. Anthony Weiner doesn't care about the rest of the world. He cares about his little corner of New York. The former congressman is really, really taking a bite out of the front runner, Christine Quinn's lead in the Democratic mayoral primary. He formally entered the race last week. He now has 19% of the vote in a pretty crowded field. Marist University did the poll. Quinn, the city council speaker, is trying to become the city's first openly gay mayor, gets 24% of the vote. So it is within that margin of error because he's got 19. How about that? If nobody gets 40% in the first round of voting, guess what happens there? Because this is the mayoral deal. If they don't get it, the primary heads to a runoff. Quinn's lead is probably safer there. She tops him 48% to 33%. And, of course, we know all about the history, the famous history of Anthony Weiner, who resigned from Congress after sending really brutal, lewd pictures of himself to women over the Internet. And he reemerged last month with an interview saying he was considering running for mayor. And he rolled out his campaign, and there you go. Some people are willing to just forget what happened with him. That was one of the epic downfalls from a rise in politics, because a lot of people were tapping him to maybe make a run for president, but to go into, you know, whatever he wanted politically. There were a lot of different lanes as far as the Democrats were concerned, and he blew that up with the craziness of the pictures and the things he was sending to women on Facebook, and then ultimately he crumbled. It was one of Andrew Breitbart's last acts because he had him and he had the information, and that was a big, big, fat fall from grace while his wife was also pregnant at the time. I'm not a big fan of these red light cameras. I don't know about you. I don't know. It's buggy to me because, one, I know they nail people and it's really kind of murky as to whether or not they went through the red light. But regardless, it makes a lot of money for a lot of areas like Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., they say they've made about $28 million. They're taking in an average of $30,000 a day. And the $28 million is since the start of 2011. So there is a particular area that really, really gets them. There are five targeted red light areas, and then four go after speeders. So the area that we're talking about, it's New York Avenue. If you go to Washington, it's interesting. New York Avenue from the Maryland suburbs, and then that go into the district, all the, that they call it three golden miles now, since the story broke and the red light cameras. They say that the red light cameras that are banned in 9 states, while 11 use them with limitations, 10 states and the district permits them, 20 states have no laws. Virginia allows one red light camera per 10,000 residents if approved locally by a local ordinance. Maryland permits red light cameras statewide. In the district, supporters of the cameras, you know, the having them set up, said they feel safer with the cameras in place. But that makes sense because they've got mass transit, they have bicyclists, they have walkers, and they have people that just don't drive cars. So, of course, they don't care about the red lights. I don't know. I think it's too much Big Brother gotcha for me. I do. I think so. So it's not surprising that 76% overall favor speed cameras, red light cameras, speed cameras, and 87, so 76 support speed cameras, 87 support red light cameras. And it's because of their, I think it's because of their personal situation. They're not so much worried about them. That's why. And with the cultural switch there, there isn't as many people to, you know, to complain. They're talking about the fact that they think it was effective in keeping drunk drivers off the road and that they could actually snare a few of them because of it. But I'm not a big proponent of it. I just think it's just a little bit over the line for me. And because I've seen people where they haven't really gone through the red light, but it's the angle of the camera or whatever. And I know that's a small amount, but regardless, I would say that's more cameras. I don't know. It's been huge in evidence. That's for sure. Because somebody says where they are, and then if they've gotten a ticket at that particular time, well, there you go. It's dated, it's stamped, and it's easy to know where somebody was and, you know, perhaps where they shouldn't have been. That's the sidebar, I think, element to what the traffic cameras now do, whether we're talking about Washington, D.C. or somewhere else. And to have that $28 million come in, I believe more of these cities and towns will try to vote them in because they see it as potentially making that kind of money to use towards something else. And there's no doubt that in Washington, that's a whole lot of money for just those 3 miles that they're mostly tapping people, where they're catching them either just a little bit speeding or flying through the red light. What do you think about red light cameras? Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Spring time is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Flex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable, survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Way to do that besides dialing the digits 855-266-5283. You can shoot me an email at americatonight.net. Many of you take me up on that because I say it all the time, but it's really true. You just blow up the email. You know, it has this little red dot that shows when it goes all the way across and it's full. So without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Bob C. says, I think the best way to deal with the immigration problem is to issue illegal immigrants to each and every registered Democrat. They will keep them for 10 years. They will provide their charges with all their needs, housing, education, etc. At the end of 10 years, they can then decide if their charges are worthy of United States citizenship. Bob, I love the sarcasm. I got it. I know what you're talking about, saying that, you know, who is paying for what's happening in our municipalities, towns, suburbs, etc., when you're overrun with the burden of paying the price for people who are in the country illegally. I always give this example because to me it's the most brilliant example. Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. A lot of illegals come in, need treatment, are in car accidents, things happen. The hospital has paid. And who do they pass that on to? Yes, all of us, the insured, are paying for that. In fact, all of you listening to me in the United States of America, not the ones outside of the United States, hi to our listeners in Japan and the UK and in South America and in Australia. But the people in the States, you're all paying at least $1,000. I have triple checked this. It is true. There is $1,000 that you pay in your insurance because of the burden of illegal treatment, treating illegals in hospitals and with medicine and all that kind of stuff. The Parkland Hospital was so overrun with the problem, and they were jacking up the price of everything, that they sent a $10 million bill to Mexico and said, this is for your people that are here. Will you please pay this if they continue to come over? Because we can't afford to pay the tab any longer. They were trying to make a point that this is too cumbersome. And it still is very cumbersome, and that's what obviously the listener was talking about. Immigration now at this point, this whole idea of immigration reform, pathway to citizenship, there still is a long way to go for any kind of bipartisan cooperation, because there were so many amendments that they had to go through in the first place to get through the first hurdle. You know, maybe it does become a reality, but are we going to like that reality? What's the final bill going to look like that could possibly become a law? That's what I would worry about. And at this point, it's not the reality. It's not the reality because it's just gone over one. It's like you're going down a run. Think of this. You're skiing. You're going down a run. There's all this conversation as you're going up on the lift. The lift seems to take forever. That would be immigration. And then you get to the top. You go down. You hit one mogul. And suddenly you're frozen in time. So they've hit one mogul and they've gotten over it. A small vote in that little gang of eight deciding, okay, what are we going to do? Push that a little bit further. Have the vote from the committee. It kicks it out. And then we see what the rest of the Senate says. We see what the House votes as well to whether to make the immigration reform bill move farther along. All right, how about this? This is a good one. This is from Dennis McMahon, our resident attorney in Vermont, WVMT. We love that station, 620 up there. Thanks for carrying America tonight. They've carried it from the beginning. He says, I open up my Twitter page on my BlackBerry today, and it says, Pope Francis followed you. The Pope is on Twitter, so I guess they decided to follow him. You know, somebody randomly is hitting people or following people, I suppose. But you would think that the Pope, I'd have to go look at this, you would think the Pope wouldn't follow that many people because he would have a lot of followers. Not necessarily follow a lot of people. I think that's pretty interesting. Here's one from Chuck in Florida. Katie Kate, love your show. Listening to it in Arcadia. Ah, that's our new affiliate there. Bravo. And he says, did you realize, I know you like space. I heard you say something about being kind of a little bit of a space freak. Did you know that the space shuttle Atlantis, which left maybe 2 years ago and ended and mothballed the shuttle program, now we are stuck with a ghost town in some areas, and we actually have our shuttle pads up for lease. You know, it's funny that you sent me that note because I in the beginning of the show, I was looking at headlines, and that was one of the little things I saw somewhere, and I thought, well, that's odd. Lease. Who's leasing the shuttle pads at NASA? Who's going to do that? They have two launch pads, right, at Kennedy Space Center, and that was built in the 60s. Then they modified it, I want to say, because of then the shuttle program and everything else. They changed some of that. So there's got to be lots of these shuttle spots that are set up that they can't use. So maybe they had a meeting and they're thinking, what can we do? How can we reduce the amount of square footage we have here? So that's what I think they're trying to do. And maybe they'll just lease it. That's the idea. They'd lease it to commercial users, whoever it might be. Then they would have that address of NASA. That's kind of crazy. You know, it would be space companies, probably like SpaceX, because they have a launch pad adjacent to Cape Canaveral, I'm sure, because they have those Falcon rockets, and they've got a second launch site in California, and they're looking for one more. So maybe NASA would lease it to them. I wonder what a lease would cost for shuttle space. The shuttle launch pad. Because those launch pads, the space was pretty darn big, I'd have to say. Anything that lends itself to the economy along that whole space coast would be good, because a lot of people were really down and out after that. That's when restaurants, you know, when you're relying on NASA and you have so many people that are working there, and then all of a sudden the whole thing is cut out, that really dumped on the people in that area who were relying on that business, because that was their bread and butter. They were doing great. The restaurants, at some of the mom-and-pop stores, and that's all gone, since really there's not much coming out of there. All right, let's move on to this one. This comes to us from Big Bob. I have a problem with somebody putting these big or small in front of their name. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? All right, so Big Bob says, wow, Zimmerman is getting hosed, Kate, already. Why they wouldn't allow those marijuana pics of Trayvon Martin, I have no idea. I think that's pretty key to his state of mind when the confrontation happened between Martin and George Zimmerman. I would say if I were the defense, I would be concerned about that. What do you think? Well, I think the defense is going to push, once they have their expert, to still be able to use it. They just can't use it in the opening statement. So if I'm the lawyer, I'm trying to set up Zimmerman, and I say, hey, he was confronted by an aggressive kid who was stoned out of his mind or whatever. However he would word it, he can't use that little hook of information. He could use it during the courtroom phase, the evidence and whatnot. It hasn't been ruled inadmissible there. So if he can get an expert to prove that it altered his state, or it could alter his state or whatever, then that might bubble back up. And I bet you it will, because if you're the defense, this is the crux of your case. The, you know, stand your ground law, and why, and was he hostile, and whatever. That's got to be really the backbone of this whole thing, I would think. So the judge telling the prosecution, you know, that ruling that she's barring the defense from introducing some information about him, it's only during that the opening phase. That can certainly turn around, and if the defense does a good job, they'll probably get that to turn around. All right, this one, last one here, comes to us from Travis, who says, Kate, did you happen to see the Papa John thing where the delivery man used a whole bunch of racial slurs as he was complaining to another employee about the tips he gets from African Americans? Unfortunately, he butt dialed and that went out. It was left on the man's voicemail, a customer, and of course that got out after that. Well, of course it did. See, that's the danger of the iPhone, calling people randomly. I don't know how many of you have had that. And what he said was bad. He said, he used the dreaded N-word several times and said that, you know, they give you, you know, that they don't give you any money there. And he went on and on laughing and joking and said that what the receipt was and what the tip was. And it was like a 4-minute rambling message. So the customer posted a YouTube video of the voicemail message, which featured the delivery man using the slurs, complaining to a fellow employee. So now the CEO of Papa John's has come out and apologized. So, yeah, I did check out that story, and it's just a reminder to be careful with the iPhone. It was crazy. What an idiot for doing that. And he got pinched because of it. Hang with us, Renee Sandler, next.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com.
enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bombproof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Sadler, she's been on CNN, 60 Minutes, MSNBC. If we went through her resume and all the places she appeared, we'd eat up the whole interview. But she's a criminal defense attorney and former prosecutor. Renee, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, I'll tell you what really, really got a lot of reaction on this show, and I don't think you're going to be surprised by this, but it's all the stuff that happened leading up to the verdict with Jody Arias, and then also this decision now on life and death and what's happened there, and the fact that I call it, you get an abridged version with this new jury because they don't go through that whole five-month period. But explain that. Why is that? So they don't, the jury is deadlocked on whether Jody Arias should be sentenced to death for the murder of her ex-boyfriend. So then now you have this sort of shortcut version of deciding the penalty phase. I don't understand.
Well, Arizona in and of itself just has some interesting laws, as we saw during this trial. The jury gets to ask questions. This issue of a new jury coming in to be impaneled when the former jury, the jury that sat through all the testimony and determined her guilt, was unsuccessful, or there was a mistrial as to the penalty. So brand new, you know, most states don't follow this path. So brand new jury comes in, and they're impaneled to hear the penalty only, and it's going to be a mini trial. So many, many appellate issues here as to, you know, what will this jury hear? The other jury had the benefit of hearing an entire trial. what will go before this jury. It's pretty fascinating. They will decide life or death. If they cannot decide, then it defaults to life.
So it defaults to life. That makes a big difference. Do you think you were a prosecutor. Did the prosecutor overreach here?
Well, I think a prosecutor, but it's going to be hard for this prosecutor, let me say that, it really has to evaluate a number of factors. Number one, putting a victim's family back through this process for months and months and months and months. Even if Jody Arias gets a death verdict here, a death sentence, you're talking years and years of appeal. So does a prosecutor, does the state of Arizona, are they invested in seeing that this woman is put to death? Or is life without the possibility of parole really what they ultimately should seek here? Millions of dollars have been spent. Millions more will be spent. And that prosecutor has to determine whether or not death is really the appropriate punishment here in light of all of that.
Yeah. It'd be fascinating to watch to see what happens now in the end and what that jury decides. But I agree with you just from a layman's perspective, a talk show host, that, boy, dragging the family through that is tough. Because you could see, too, this family was so emotional. Of course, they were distraught. It was a son. It was a brother. And it was rough.
Oh, the pain on their faces. It was gut-wrenching. If you looked at the defense attorneys, they could not make eye contact. It's a very, very, very difficult thing to watch. And again, to put them through months and months again of this horrific facts of this case, I think is really something the prosecutor needs to take a look at.
Yeah. Let's talk about something completely different, although just as much headline grabbing, and it'll churn up again. The George Zimmerman case. The prosecution won a couple of big things here pre-trial, and one of them was about marijuana. This hearing 2 weeks before the start of the trial, the judge, who's Deborah Nelson, as you know, really handed them a couple of big wins. And one, she barred the defense from introducing the info about Martin that included his marijuana habits. You're not surprised by that, are you?
No, I think first of all, the judge handed a number of blows to the defense today with regard to text messages, with regard to marijuana use, and just what the defense was trying to do was seek introduction of evidence that showed really a propensity for Trayvon Martin to be violent or to support their theory that he was the initial aggressor. Now, that will be reviewed again during trial if the defense generates facts that support self-defense. So that issue is not over. They will also have considered again before the judge whether or not there is scientific support for the use of an expert about marijuana usage. And what I say that is there is a study that was cited in court today about the use of marijuana near an event causing a person to be hostile or violent. So depending on how the prosecution puts their case in, if they step one foot off the line, all of this evidence is going to be fair game.
Ooh, that's big. Thanks for that nugget. Here's another thing, the defense attorneys raising questions about this analysis that's suggesting that Martin could be heard in the background, these horrid screams of a 911 call just before the shooting. So now that's voice identification, and that's pretty interesting. And the voice ID experts that were hired, if you will, by the prosecution say they don't know whose voice it is, and there isn't enough sound to make a conclusive determination. You know, who loses in this one, depending on what happens with this piece of evidence, maybe?
I think the state loses on this issue, and I think the expert needs a couple more weeks to finish his analysis. But there's an additional standard that's going to be difficult here, and that is whether or not any analysis, given the poor quality of this communication, meets the scientific reliability standard. And that's what the judge was focused on today, whether or not, even if it was able to be identified, whether or not it was scientific enough and accepted by the courts and reliable to be considered. So I think the state loses there because the state very much wants a jury to believe that that was Trayvon Martin in the background pleading for his life.
Yeah. The other interesting side note to this, and I wonder how this all plays into it, and it certainly has been the sidebar conversation, is the Stand Your Ground law in Florida. Do you think that this helps, this is really going to help George Zimmerman and help his defense team or no?
I think that was an absolute critical tactical strategy that this defense employed to forego the Stand Your Ground hearing and simply rely on a self-defense strategy for this case. And, you know, those decisions are made in with closed doors, with things that none of us are ever privy to knowing or hearing. But having been in those tense discussions, I mean, this is a strategy that they've employed. These are good lawyers, smart lawyers. They are diligent and working hard and no stone unturned. And you can see that from today and what they have. They had tapes of Trayvon Martin fighting and being a referee of a fight. I mean, they've really done their homework. So I have to defer the defense on that, but interesting call for them to make.
Yeah. We're speaking with Renee Sandler, criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor. And Renee, of all the, you know, now with social media and as being a former prosecutor, boy, this really changes the game. But how much does it change the game when we're talking about criminal defense? I would imagine just as much as some of the other things out there.
It changes the game drastically. You know, I feel like I'm dating myself here by saying that when I was a prosecutor, almost 20 years ago, for several years, we didn't even have email. So these prosecutors today that are prosecuting cases and for me defending them, I mean, every single case has text messages and email communications and Facebook postings and social media in various degrees. And so the volume of just information for attorneys to sift through and understand in a case, it can be overwhelming at times. So these trials often are mini trials within bigger trials, just about the reliability and miscibility of this kind of electronic evidence. So it changes the game drastically.
When you have a client, once you know you go through all the evidence and go through the rigmarole that you have to pre-trial, do you tell them, listen, don't be tweeting or don't go on Facebook to say how we're doing?
Well,
I'm in court right now, and I'm feeling okay.
You try your absolute best to manage your client, but as we just saw recently with the Jody Arias media blitz after the verdict, it's not always possible to manage your client. And nowadays, we're all attached to our phones, our computers, our iPads, and it's really hard to control a client and to just impress upon them how difficult their case will be if they continue to tweet and Facebook. It can be very, very problematic.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too. Interesting. Renee, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
The 9th Annual Health Freedom Expo returns June 7th through June 9th at the Schaumburg Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois, featuring over 75 world-renowned doctors, activists, and experts. Meet Dr. Joel Wallach, author of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actress and activist Daryl Hannah, famed Dr. Patch Adams, women's health expert Dr. Joan Borisenko, GMO activist Jeffrey Smith, and renowned natural health doctor Dr. Joseph Mercola. Sample delicious, healthy foods. Watch award-winning documentaries. Attend exciting panel discussions. Discover the latest natural health products. And be sure to check out the expo hall, filled with 200 exhibitors. Don't forget about the new interactive pavilions and receive free screenings. It's all here under one roof for only $20 a day or $45 for the entire three-day weekend. It costs less than a doctor's visit. But hurry, tickets are going fast. For tickets and info, visit healthfreedomexpo.com or call 888-658-3972. The Health Freedom Expo, your one source for total natural health solutions.